Good morning. Good to see each of you here today. Let's take our songbooks. We'll start with number 144, He Owns the Cattle on a Thousand Hills, and then we'll go to 180, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Let's stand together as we sing. Number 180, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. 180.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing.
Mercies are new how often? Every morning. Every morning his mercies are new. Aren't you glad? Mercies for this day. God always meets our needs. His mercies are always greater than our sin. You got 10 sins, he's got 11 mercies, right? And always greater than our sin. We're glad you're here this morning. I appreciate you being in our service, and we've overcome some of the fears to be here, right? And fear of me, I hope not. But we're really glad that you're here this morning. And this is a good crowd for the way things are in this day. And we do appreciate you coming. We've had a great weekend so far with Brother Mike Manor speaking to us couples on Friday and Saturday. And he survived us those 2 days. Let's see what we can do to him today. But then challenging us in our Sunday school hour, great challenge from the perspective of the hateful brethren and the integrity of Joseph in the face of that. You know, that was great truth. We blame shift. We have so many excuses why we aren't, and it's always because of someone else. And, you know, we can be what we ought to be regardless of what someone is next to us, right? Be it a spouse, be it a sister, a brother, a cousin, a friend, we can be what we ought to be. And we're glad you're here this morning. If you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, all right? We are alive, and we'll have a great service today. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the many, many blessings you've given to us. Again, we thank you for health and for strength. And Lord, I pray that today our hearts would be open for what you have for us, for each one of us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless Brother Mike Manor as he preaches today. Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen, that we might make the appropriate applications in our lives, that we'd be transformed today, drawn closer to you than before. And Lord, better equipped to not only glorify you, but to reach a lost and dying world. I pray that you'd bless our service. We do pause and pray for our nation this morning, that you would give our leaders wisdom, that you'd protect our nation from things going on today above and beyond the virus that's proclaimed. And Lord, I just pray that you'd watch over our leaders, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty, doing your will here today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to take just a minute before we get in, and this is one of those days I would love to have preached, but we already planned on having Brother Mike Manor speak, because when things are going around us, I like to just kind of push reset buttons or set the pace here from our own perspective or from what I think our perspective should be. But let me just say a couple things. God hath not, this is scripture, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. Sound mind. So be rational. Amen. Be thoughtful. Thoughtful of others. If you're a little sick, then stay away. And you know what? For a little time being, if we want to postpone handshaking, that's fine. A little elbow bumping, no hip bumping, but a little elbow bumping if that's appropriate. But, have a sound mind. Amen. I can't believe that there's no toilet paper at Myers. There's no toilet paper at Walmart. And as far as I know, Montezuma's revenge is not part of this virus. But it sure seems that with people in their minds. But God's given us the spirit of power, not fear. Fear paralyzes us, but faith in God energizes us to do what we ought to do. And so let's look to the faith side. And my perspective as a pastor is we will obey government, but honor God first and foremost, as always. Nothing changes. If the government says, churches shouldn't assemble for a time, and they carte blanche all of them, I would obey that mandate if the government gave that. If they said we couldn't assemble to preach God's word forever, I would not obey that. But if we did it for the safety's sake and the government said so, then I would do it until then. And if we reach over 250, we'll praise God, build a new building, and we'll have 250 here and 250 in the other one. We'll just keep going. But we want to be sane, sensible, but we want to be show respect for everyone else. My wife is home today, not feeling well. She couldn't have come today. She doesn't feel well. She does not have coronavirus. We got rid of her, but she's got an infection. The antibiotics are taken care of. But had she been coughing like she is and didn't know what it was, she would not have come. So everybody should use respect for other people. If you do get sick, just stay home. We'll see you next Sunday if you have to sit out for a week or 10 days, whatever it is. I think one of the things that God's people ought to be reminded of, the Bible says, "Don't not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching." And as always, I want our gathering together to be a time of exhorting one another to keep doing the will of God. We have an opportunity. When people are fearful, it's an opportunity for us to share the person in whom our faith rests. And so let's take advantage of that. Somebody's expressing fear, say, well, you know what? We have a wonderful God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He can take care of anything. And if he lets me get sick and takes me home, it'll be in heaven where I won't be sick anymore. Amen? And we can share wonderful truth in times like that. So I just wanted to say a few words. We'll have service as long as we can and should. And hopefully this thing, it will pass, right? Pray for one another, and especially for our seniors, those who are well older than I. That's supposed to be funny, folks, okay? But anyway, pray. Thank you, Earl. I appreciate that. One laugh there. But pray for one another in this time, and let's let God continue to use us. Brother Jeff.
Number 300 in your songbook, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Take the name of Jesus ever.
couple of minutes for some announcements. First of all, we won't have the ladies and men's ensemble practice tonight at 5:30, but everybody come back and be a part of the evening preaching service. Brother Mike Manor again will be preaching for us, and I appreciate his messages. I appreciate his spirit, and I think that you'll want to come back tonight. You should come back if you can for the evening service. And so that's at 6:30, and we trust that you'll make it back out and make that a priority in your life tonight. And then if you get here a little bit early, it's helpful too, meet and greet and chat. So even though we don't have ensemble, try to get here a little early, 6:10, 6:15, whatever, for the evening service. Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time at 7, Bible class for children age 2 through 4, Eagles Club for children age 5 through 5th grade, Action Youth Group for those in grades 6 through 12. And then Saturday at 10, visitation and soul winning. And then 7 to 10 p.m., a college career class bowling event this coming Saturday. May the 10th, we'll have our Mother's Day breakfast and then be in prayer for Vacation Bible School in June. And as of right now, I'm not so sure that missionaries Josh and Sada Whitman will be able to be here July the 5th. It depends on what happens in Italy. They're pretty well shut down and confined there. And so whether or not they make it, we're not sure. That's July 5th. They were scheduled to be here. The latter part of July, the Lord willing, my brother and his wife will be here. They're in from Italy. They came back before the ban was set for the flights in from Italy, and they're visiting their supporting churches on their last deputation or a furlough run. Been in Italy for those 40-some years, and then they're doing their last furlough, then they'll go back and just live there and be a part of the ministry there in Italy as the Lord leads. So they hope to be here the last part of July. They are in the States. And then July the 22nd, on a Wednesday night, we do have the Academy of Arts drama team scheduled once again to be here, and they do a great job with the young people that travel with them, and so they'll be here Wednesday night, July the 22nd, and I think you can look forward to that. Something to have in mind for the summer, great things going on. Then, of course, fall revival meetings with evangelist Jake DeAndre. Let's see, happy birthday to Isabella Baltimore this morning. I think that's all the announcements, and we're so glad that you're here. Hope you got a visitor's card. Anybody here, folks, first time here? Yes, and your names are? Chad and Stacy. Chad and Stacy, so good. You look so familiar to me that I was hesitant to say first time, but so good to have you here this morning. And did you get a visitor's card? Wonderful. Fill that out, and Anita right there will give you money to put in with it, so you won't feel embarrassed. Yeah, you and Mel know them well. Okay, very good. I'm sorry about Mel, but anyway, thanks for coming to be a part of our service. If you just put that visitor's card in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate that. Keep the pen. All right. Brother Jeff, how about another song?
Number 458. Now I Belong to Jesus.
Jesus, my Lord. Time alone. joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to
ushers would come. We'll prepare to receive our offering this morning. And let me mention a couple things about that. We'll take our regular offering, of course, as we do for Sunday morning. But I also want to mention that we'll be taking a special love offering tonight in our evening service for Brother Mike. And we appreciate him being with us. If you cannot be here tonight, then I would encourage you to ask the Lord what you could give this morning in the offering toward his being with us. Couples, if we paid to go to retreat like we had, we'd pay for motel, we'd pay for food, and all that good stuff. I saved you a bunch of money. And we did that, and no charge for people to come in. I mean, the food was free, folks. And we had a great time. But just think of it, you know, if you got a nugget of truth that will help you in your marriage, that's worth volumes. And so I would ask that you ask the Lord what he might have you give to show appreciation to the Lord and to the servant that he sent us by way of a love offering. We take that tonight. If you can't be here tonight, then just add a love offering this morning and mark it such as for Evangelist Mike Manor, if you can't be here tonight. Emphasis on can't. But anyway, so ask the Lord what he'd have you do, and then, like I said, if you can't be tonight, maybe leave something designated that way this morning. We want to show our appreciation for the one whom God has sent us. And so just pray about that, and Lord, what would you have me do? Ben, why don't you lead us in prayer this morning?
Thank you. their hills, amen. The children are an heritage of the Lord, they're not ours. They're loaned us from God, and our homes are the Lord's, our life are the Lord's. We're so glad you're here this morning. So glad to have Brother Mike Banner. I met him last fall and loved what I got to meet there last fall when I met him. He came and spoke for us.
We've developed a Christian friendship, and I've helped him out all that I could in the times that we've seen each other. But I'm so glad to have him with us. And, you know, do this. If you have a barrier, just put it down. Put down any barrier and just say, Lord, speak to me. Like I often say to us on Sunday morning, draw a little circle around yourself, a cylinder up to God. Put some mirrors on the inside looking at you. And as the Word of God comes forth today, just let it reflect on you and help you do what you need to do for the Lord. Brother Mike, you come.
Yes, it is, but I'll work around your mistakes,
yes,
Pastor.
Sir,
yes, I will. I'll try to do my best.
God bless you.
Thank you very
so
much. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, yes. You know, the problem with him and me together, it's bad chemistry. That's all it is to it. What he didn't tell you was after we met there and then I came and preached, I've stopped in since, and we've just sat around and picked and grinned. I think you should cut his pay for that. But we just have too much fun together and have too many similarities as far as our love for the Lord as well as our love for music and just love having fellowship one with another. I try to be submissive to the authority that's placed over me. You know, I try to do that. It's a struggle with certain people. You know what I'm saying? But Pastor said, I want you to sing a special up here. And I said, well, I feel like Froggy went a-courting and he did ride doo-dah, doo-dah day. But I'm going to do, and you're going to help me. For my choir, I prepared you on purpose to help me with this chorus, The Lord Is There. So the Lord is there. It's real easy for the rest of you don't know this. He's always there. Can you say that? He's always there. And you'll catch on as we do it. We'll do a practice run here. It goes like this. The Lord is there when every day awakens. The Lord is there when in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight. The Lord is there. He will never forsake his own. Huh? Huh? All right, well, let me try to do the verse and you come in, of course. In this world are many people living life in despair, consumed with the thought nobody cares, forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart. There's only one always there when a life falls apart. Get ready. The Lord is there when every day awakens. The Lord is there when in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight. The Lord is there. He will never forsake his own. Jesus Christ is the answer to the troubles we bear. He brings peace to our heart when life seems unfair. With things or people, disappointment life brings. When the Lord saves your soul, then with joy you can sing. The Lord is there when every day awakens. The Lord is there when in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness. us of nigh, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He will never forsake his own. He will never forsake his own. Amen. At this point, I'd usually have you stand. Then I'd go down and sneak a drink of water. So I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier and go back where I'm supposed to be. Because again, diseases do abound, ladies and gentlemen. We're doomed as doom can be. None of us will probably even live through the service. How about that for drama? Yeah. So with that said, you better know where you're going when you kick the bucket. Y'all with me? You better not have a hope so maybe, boy, I think I'm going to go be with God forever. Folks, that's not the way God wants it to work. God wants you to know that you know that you know. Absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Now, I know a lot of you better than you want me to know you already, okay? We have some visitors here, some folks I don't know quite as well, but I hope you know my Jesus. I hope you don't just love God, you're a good person, you read your Bible every day. I pray there's been a time in your life where you understood we're all in the same boat. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But here's the blessed part. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, the world will try to convince you there's a whole bunch of ways of getting there to heaven and be with God forever. But the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. And I know that from other scripture, but the Lord himself gave testimony, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You may be an outstanding, upstanding human being in the community around you, but you'll never be good enough to merit the opportunity and privilege of being in before a holy God for all eternity. That's why Jesus died and paid it all, and all to him we owe. You're planning on going to heaven. This church can't get you. This preacher can't, and I can't either. Only Jesus can get you to heaven for all eternity. You know, it's amazing what you hear on Fox News. Can I have an amen from the people? Yeah, it's an information highway. And, you know, sometimes folks are more excited to hear about Thus Saith Rush or Sean Hannity than they are really Thus Saith the Lord. Now, I got to admit, if I want my information sheet filled out the right way, I don't go to CNN. I was a little frustrated even at breakfast at the motel. They had MSNBC, and I went, oh, are these people clueless? And, you know, it's not just because I watch Fox News. I just try to observe with facts what's being talked about. And I try to have a balanced perspective no matter who the counsel's coming from. But bottom line, I want to make sure that I please and honor God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the message I'm going to preach is not one I usually do in revivals. I may do this in a Sunday school class, but it's something Pastor and I talked about I think is very appropriate for even here today. And it does deal with the fear we're facing in the world that's before us. People are in panic mode. When you start hoarding toilet paper, folks, you've lost your marbles. Y'all with me? You're just clueless. And we could say dumber than a brick in your choices. But isn't it amazing how one guy goes stupid and we just follow stupid wherever he may go? And that's just what panic does. That's what fear, you know, again, has. Like Pastor said, it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. Other than someone thought that's a good idea. Now, for me, let's go get more ice cream. You know, let's hoard something worthwhile and something that will bring victory, ladies and gentlemen. But there will be a baby boom in a few years here because all the time that, you know, it's a lot of spare time here. No sports. Oh, boy, wife, I'm so sorry. He's going to actually talk to you now. You guys, your marriage may be over now. You'll actually have conversations. But with the kids and with all that goes on, folks, you know, we've got to keep our heads, and the only way to do that is through the power of God's working. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. He guides you into all truth, and He gives you sense. He gives you discernment to think right and do what's right. The world is nuts and clueless concerning truth when they bypass the source of truth, the blessed Word of God. Now, I've faced some difficulties and trials in my own life. I almost was done with ministry with a throat issue I fought from like 2015 all the way up to just about a year ago. And you know what? People ask me all the time, Brother Maynard, are you depressed? You know, are you discouraged? Well, yeah, I guess I was discouraged. But here's the phrase I always gave. How can you be upset when you know it's God's will for your life? God's not surprised, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, that coronavirus is doing its destructive thing. But you understand this very known fact, God makes no mistakes. And God is still in control. So folks, my favorite song to sing, and I said this to the couples on our other sessions we've had, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want to keep your fingernails? You want to keep from bashing your head against the wall with all the frustration and panic? Well, understand, again, God's in control. How can I be upset when I know it's God's will for my life? Now, when you do go through down times, and folks, don't think you're not spiritual because you have down times. We all do. And that makes us be more dependent and looking unto Jesus because He's the only one that can fix what's broken. And you learn through those down times or fearful frustration times that, hey, God, again, His power is never ending. He's an ever-present help. And He's there for you. That's why I really sang the song that I picked for the conference as well as for here this morning. God knows what He's doing. And we got to look to Him instead of man, no matter how smart or so-called informed that person may be. Here it is again. How can I be upset, a nervous wreck? You know, a basket case, as we would say, when I know it's God's will for my life. And again, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. What I want to do here is give you, again, some encouragement concerning this fear business that plagues all of us as far as this flesh we're parked in. But I want to have a word of prayer first before I forget I am at that stage of life. You understand with the pastor you have. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts. Let's seek God's intervening power in our midst, and we'll rejoice in His goodness together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your ever-present help, for Your love for us. God, I'm glad, even though we're out of control and berserker brains most of the time, that You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, You've given us a book that's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I pray, God, we won't rely on the word or the counsel of a fearful man, but God will go in a fearless fashion, faithfully following a perfect, holy God. So God, use these verses as, yeah, to build us up, give us knowledge, but to encourage hearts. Lord, it's hard to not get caught up in the hoopla. I mean, just in our face 24/7, and it's hard not to get brainwashed, not to be plagued or again, programmed by all the verbiage that's being thrown out there at this very panic time of life. Help us to look unto Jesus, not just as the author, but also as the finisher of our faith. Lord, we love You. We look forward to Your intervening power and work even here today. Help us to respond with obedience and again a great joy as You work in our hearts here this morning. Thank You and praise You, God, again for these verses, for these truths of the Word of God. We just praise Your holy name, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here's a good rally verse no matter what's going on in your life. And you're going to know these because hopefully you got these memorized. You use them all the time. Get a hold of this one. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, whatever's going on, folks, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know what that word conqueror literally means? If you really kind of get it the way it's supposed to be understood, it means super conqueror. That's what we have through the power of God's working. Here's a good statement. Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory and more victory. And we need not fear life or death or things present or things to come, because Jesus Christ loves us and gives us the victory. Then it goes on to say this one, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, never underestimate the power and working of the devil himself. You hear me? Who you think stirring up the lies? Who you think's feeding you baloney and garbage? It's not our God, folks. The devil, the prince, the power of the air. But get a load of this truth and park this in your activity schedule. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Shouldn't that motivate you? Shouldn't that just get you a little extra hop in your step and joy in your heart? When you don't just know those verses, they become a reality and working in who you are on a daily basis. Folks, we should be in a mindset of super conquerors. Now, I know some of you guys are depressed right now because there's no March Madness. Oh, they canceled, you know, all sports and that. And some of you guys are going through withdrawal symptoms. I mean, it's worse than stopping smoking, man. You got the shakes here. You hold the remote control and say, why isn't it working right, you know? And you're in freak out mode, okay? But folks, let's don't freak out. You're just going to find out there is something better than even anything the world has to offer. And that's knowing Jesus better and doing his will that he's blessed you to be a part of as far as his working is concerned. Now, we go forth with confidence, not being arrogant. You know, we don't want to just, you know, be flippant about this very serious scenario we're involved with, because they don't understand what you've got that they don't have. You hear me? Now, if they ask you, why are you so calm? Why aren't you buying more toilet paper? You simply say, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I've trusted Jesus, my Savior. I know he makes no mistakes. And you can borrow my phrase. You can quote me on it. Say, this very good-looking evangelist. Oh, what a wonderful man he is. He made the statement, how can I be upset when it's God's will for my life? And folks, encourage them that God is faithful. And tell them how to know your Jesus, that you think they know. But I'm telling you, there are people here that still don't have a clue in this room as I preach the Word of God. But some folks think they're smarter than God. They got it figured out, and it'll all work out in the end. Yeah, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And it's your own choosing. You want to let your pride-filled thinking put you there, God will let that happen. It breaks his heart. He'll say to you, because of your choosing, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, does God know all things? Yeah, but he doesn't know you as his own. Right. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, doesn't it seem that most Christians live a life of defeat rather than victory? Don't you see that, folks? You know, again, what brings a loser mentality to our lives rather than a winning testimony that we should and could present? I mean, how dumb would this be? I'm talking about sports. Let's say somebody wins the Final Four. They're going to go, oh, whoopee, we won the Final Four. No, they go ballistic. They're just, we're number one! And man, they go so in excitement mode, they can't shut up. They're so filled with enthusiasm and excitement. Victory is ours! Yeah, we have victory in Jesus. Yeah, we're the winners for all eternity. Oh, I'm sorry to bother you with that information. Hello? Isn't that the way we are, though? Oh, but you know what? I don't have any toilet paper. I'm just afraid I don't. I already got like 55 big packets from Sam's, okay? I don't think we have enough to get through the storms. Can I give a loving response? Oh, brother. Really? You know? Come on. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Probably we should have sung victory in Jesus today. That's what we need to be reminded of, folks. But again, we're the winners. I've read the whole book. We win. We're winners now, not because of us, but Christ lives in me. Now, God knows this fear stuff's a problem for us. I gave a stat to the couples, you know, because we mentioned coronavirus and this sort of thing even in the other sessions. But, you know, God says 365 times in the Word of God, fear not. That's one for every day. I don't care how long coronavirus may last. Fear not. Now again, what happens if we don't buy up fear not and we go into fear mode? Well, I'm going to give you the ramifications. Pastor's already stole my first point, but I want you to take your Bibles. I want to show you one of the favorite fear not verses in the Word of God to most people if you're a student of Scripture. Go to the book of Isaiah here, would you please? Isaiah chapter 41. And folks, some verses need to be memorized sooner than other verses. This is one you need to get to sooner than later. I'm telling you, it'll get you through the storms of life, the discouragements, the woe is me. This is such a blessed, power-packed verse of encouragement to our hearts, even during the time we're facing here at this junction of life. It says down in verse 10, Isaiah 41, you know chapter 40 pretty well, that's where it says, wait upon the Lord. You know, that good memory verse there, that's another nugget to memorize. But go with me to chapter 41 and verse 10 where it says this. Fear thou not. What's God's will for my life? You know, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. You folks got that one figured out already, okay? But this is pretty simple. This is God's will for your life and mine. Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will, not maybe folks, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now folks, shouldn't that just stir us up and cause us to be Baptocostal? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't that make, I don't care how quiet you are and shy, that should light a fire in you of excitement concerning the promise that God has set forth through this blessed verse. So what if we don't buy up what God is offering? What are going to be the ramifications or consequences? I'm going to give you three things here. First of all, as Pastor mentioned, fear can paralyze you, just cause you to stop in your tracks. And then what happens? Well, most time you go backward instead of forward, and no progress. You're just dead in the water, as we would say. And any function that's worthwhile, especially that which brings glory and honor to God. Some folks will use this problem we're facing as an excuse not to go to church. They're excited. Some teenagers are going, yay. It was a blessing enough to not have to go to school. Now I don't even have to go get church and get beat up by the preacher from the Word of God. And some husbands are doing the same thing. And now you know what's going to happen, don't you? Some folks, because of this, will just get in a habit of not going. And kind of the fringe folks will just be nowhere to be found as far as faithfulness to the local church like they should. So first of all, number one, fear can paralyze you. Secondly, fear can cause you to miss opportunities of fulfillment to a given responsibility, secular or sacred. You know, why didn't you take that job when you were offered that job? You're scared to death. You know, God opened the door, God presented the privileged opportunity, but because you looked to your flesh instead of trusting, obeying God, you missed out on that blessed, God-given opportunity. Now, that can happen even in a local church, but that happens, I'm telling you right now, with every person in this room concerning your ministry responsibilities. I know who your pastor is. He came from that Hiles place. They're soul-winning maniacs. Are you with me, people? Soul-winning, soul-winning, soul-winning. That's all they think about. That's a good thing, okay? That's why we're left behind to go into the world and preach the gospel to those we think we can handle. No, to the opportunities God blesses us with every single day. But most people in this room don't do this, or you would be in a building program. You hear me? You aren't a soul winner. Why? Fear of man. Fear of what you can or cannot do. And it's cheating you of the privilege of faithfulness, let alone cheating others of knowing Jesus as personal Savior. And folks, you've got in flesh category instead of faithful category. And you know what? It's nobody's fault but ours, people, when we let fear take the place of fear not. Now, don't be obnoxious. You with me? Don't just do your duty to get it done. No, you do your duty because you love Jesus, and because you love him, his love is shed abroad in your heart. And that's why you want to see people go to heaven for all eternity. God will give you holy boldness if you'll just, again, get out of the fear category and just say, here am I, Lord, send me. So first of all, fear can paralyze you. Secondly, fear can cause you to miss opportunities of fulfillment to a given responsibility or responsibility, secular or sacred. And number three is this. Fear can cause you to live in defeat instead of victory. And then in turn, you miss out on what God could bring into your life, let alone through your life in faithful service to him. Yeah, I get it. You may not be as talented. You know, your pastor's amazing. You know, and I'm not saying this because I'm kissing up for another meeting or something. He's just amazing. The guy never stops. He's just always witnessing. He's always singing. The guy, he thinks he can sing real good. You know what I'm saying? He asked me yesterday, he said, you know, I think we could do a duet together. And I went, God, please get me out of here. Oh, please, God, quickly. No, he's got a great voice. You know, do you realize a lot of preachers, let me share a burden, okay, as an evangelist. Most of the time, I have to sit on a platform beside the grand poobah of pastorship, and I'm telling you, most of them can't carry a tune in a bucket. Can you hear me? But just like pastors are, they're louder than anybody in the whole room. And I'm dying. It's like driving a spike through my temple, people, when this guy's singing nowhere close to the right key, but heartily, joyfully making much noise, but not much music. I like being beside him. He can hear it, he can sing it, and he loves to present it. He just loves music. That's why we get along so well. But you know what, folks? You're a blessed people. Great facility. You know, you really do. This is just amazing what God has blessed you with. And I know you've done a lot to it. Home Depot, Lowe's, thank you very much. But you know what, folks? Great facility. You got a great pastor. His wife's a hoot. You know, she just sick of her husband. That's the only reason she stayed home. She just, you know, there's only so much we can endure, even through the power and working of God. So she had to go clear to New York with the man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's been sick ever since. It just personal insight for you visitors here. It's really a difficult. I'm trying to work with him as much as I can. Okay. But you know what, folks? Listen, you got a great thing going here. Don't blow it. And don't cheat yourself in not being a part of it. And let me say for you visitors, you don't have a good church, you get involved in this one and get it done. You know, there's a lot of fluff and no stuff out there. A lot of stuff you want to hear but not necessarily need to hear as far as your responsibilities and your faithful ministry for God. They're going to boot you in the spiritual tail here. Do you hear me? They're going to say, hide your silver away to get it done in a biblical fashion to not just produce fruit, but much fruit. Don't let fear, don't let, again, irresponsibility keep you from being faithful and, again, being a good steward of what God has blessed you with. Now, I want to go back to Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to give you a really brief outline. Then we're going to go beat the Presbyterians to the restaurant. That's what we're going to do here today. So let's get it done. I'm not like Pastor, right? Bunny with the drum. He just keeps going and going. I'm gonna hit it, get it, and get it done. I told Pastor, I was so excited to preach today, I woke up at 4:30 this morning. I mean, like, bah, let's go, ha ha. I mean, I'm kind of that way anyway. And I couldn't go back to sleep because I was so excited to come and preach and be with you people today. You know, some churches I go, you know, I'm doing a Sunday to Friday meeting, I go, it's only Monday. I mean, there are some like that. And there's a reason a lot of churches aren't growing. They just have no zip, zing, and zeal because I don't think they have quite the commitment of heart and understanding their relationship with the Lord. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but observationally, there's more wood than there are people, you know, as far as the church auditorium's concerned. And folks, again, this is a privilege. And praise the Lord, you're blessed with something that's very easy and palatable as far as listening, learning, and serving. But here in Isaiah chapter 41, I want to do this very quickly here. And I'm going to give you the outline before I start. Now, folks, it's nothing to me, new to me. I mean, don't say, oh, that Brother Maynard, he just does those outlines so good. If you study this verse, I don't care if you've got a Bible degree or not, you'd come up with the same outline because it's so obvious in this passage of Scripture. So we're going to talk, first of all, about the presence of God. Then we're going to talk about and see the power of God's working. Then we'll deal with these blessed promises. And boy, this is chock full, I'm telling you right now. So business at hand, the presence of God. Do you remind yourself of this in the midst of corona panic? He's an ever-present help. Then as it says in the Word of God, this is one of my favorite statements, He will never, in my heart as well as my notes, I got that underscored. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I don't deserve it. True. And neither do the rest of us. But He loves you that much. He's that faithful, even though you may not be as faithful as you're supposed to be. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And even in the Great Commission, we mentioned that. He says, lo, I am with you. How often, folks? Always, even to the end of the world. That's one of those always forever promises. Now, do any of you remember when you were younger? I know it's going to be harder for some of you than others because you're almost dead like I am. You remember when you were littler and you had to go to the dentist? Now, you kids don't realize how spoiled you are now in this time period. Because when I was a child, they didn't wear those little rubber gloves, okay? And my dentist had the largest hands known to mankind. And I can still smell them in my memory bank nostrils. You know, I'm a little kid and he's got these like giant hands going, you know? And it's still a nightmare. I wake up at night in fear, in a fetal position. No, I don't. But it's a haunting memory. But I was a bit apprehensive about that. Or maybe doing a recital. Do you remember how comfort it was when mommy was there? Or dad was there to say, you big sissy, man up. You know, that's my dad. You know, but it was comforting to have their ever-present help and encouragement. That's how intimate and personal it needs to be between you and the Lord. Because He is that intimate and personal in His love, care, and concern for you. And boy, if you haven't developed that yet with God, it's so available even for you. And again, I know what people say. I hear it all the time. Well, I just don't deserve it. Again, we only deserve one thing. I've said this like three times this weekend. We deserve hell for all eternity. That's all we deserve. And if you ever get past that thought, thinking more of yourself than you ought, you're going to end up running a show that should be run by Almighty God. You deserve hell, and so do I. But God's love and grace is beyond calculation. And again, beyond understanding to this inconsistent, wicked old flesh we're parked in. But I'm telling you, He's there for you. Fear not, why? Because God is always there for you. Now, what's the problem? I try to point them out very obviously. It comes down when you start listening to yourself instead of trusting in the Lord. You want to have the faith to make fear not be a working reality, then buy up His ever-present fellowship. Because as we said in the song, the Lord is there. What? He's always there, and He's there for you. So that's the presence of God. Let's go to the next part, the power of God. Look back at verse 10. He says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. And He says, be not dismayed. You know what? That's a nice way of saying, quit being a nervous wreck. Don't get all worked up, consumed with worry. And here's what we're real good at, making a mountain out of a molehill. And you know what eats our lunch like nothing else? The what if monster. What if? What if? What? Yeah, you know what? Again, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But what if? Again, don't let that monster eat you. Don't let it gobble you up as far as your faithful thinking as well as faithful choices of life. Now, don't be foolish. Pastor's warned you about that. I've said it a couple times. Be reasonable, be sensible. Understand these people don't know what you know, don't have the confidence in God that you have. Be gentle, but be unapologetic that you're not a nervous wreck for a reason. Because of the presence of God and because the power of God's working. He goes on to say, for I am thy God. Folks, this is Elohim. It speaks of God's greatness, of His divine power as Creator, the sovereign ruler, the one and only supreme being. What does that mean? Absolute power over everything. Amen. Look up here. This is good. This will preach. I got this. That's what God's saying. He's saying, hey, start looking at your shoes. Turn off Fox News. Quit again being a phone junkie of information concerning the latest outbreak of corona. Hey, look at me. Amen. I got this. Trust me. Obey me. Amen. I got what it takes to get you through. Just plug into the right power source and not grow weary in well-doing and faint and falter. And again, mess up your testimony of truly trusting and obeying God. God says, I've got this. Now, here's the question we got to ask with that kind of point and discussion. Can God be trusted? See, the reason you go nervous and go berserk, O'Brien, because you really don't believe God's telling the truth. That God will really do what He says He's going. Folks, He always does what He says He will do. God cannot lie. God will not lie. He's God. He's perfect, and can I help you with something? We're nowhere close. And that's where the rub and the problem comes. But who do we listen to the most? And we get all rattled, shaken, and stirred, folks, because, again, we listen to the wrong counsel instead of trusting in the presence and the power of God. And then, boy, hang on for the last one, the promises of God. This is how we really defeat fear. Don't just know them. Buy them up. You know, it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And let me show you something. Would you go to the book of Psalm real quick? We'll go real quick. I promise we won't do this long. Go to just several Psalms. Go to Psalm 27 and let me just remind you of God's will and working that's again availed for you and me. Promises of again, He wants us to buy up. Look, it's Psalm 27. Let me read 7. They're all clustered here together, so you don't have to turn too much. Look at verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? Then down in verse 14, another blessed, wonderful, wonderful promise. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And He, maybe, if He has time to mess with you. Now, that's not what it says. It says, He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. I think I preached last time I was here. I looked at my notes. Gaining weight. Learning how to biblically wait upon God. And the verse I gave you was this one. Very simple. Wait on God continually. No matter how bad the coronavirus may get and become. Trust and obey. Wait upon God. He's there to give you what it takes to be faithful and rightly represent Him. Look at Psalm 28. In Psalm 28 and verse 7 and 8, let me read these together. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength. Who's the there? God's people. And He is the saving strength of His anointed. Then look at chapter 29 and verse 11. Psalm 29 and verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with again, peace. And folks, that's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Remember from chapter 4, Philippians? How does that work? When you keep your heart and mind in Him. You're a nervous wreck? I can tell you're looking somewhere other than to Jesus. That's just the only source of true peace is through Jesus. The world cannot bring that to you, and neither can you in your own flesh. You can try to bootstrap it up, you know, and sweat and toil to get her done. But folks, you can't do this. Only God can. But it only works when you put your heart and mind in Christ. Psalm 46 and verse 1 tells us that our God is a very present help. Now tonight, I'm going to preach on this guy if God directs me still to do this, on a guy named Asa. A guy pleasing before God. That's his. That's the testimony of who he was at one juncture of his life. But you know what? When he was in trouble, he just did the right thing. He said, "Help. God, I'm doomed as doom can be apart from your intervening power." And folks, we're doomed as doom can be without God's intervening power. Then we have the great picture of God's never-ending working power and promises. He says, look at the last, go back to Isaiah 41. I'll finish here. He says here, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Folks, can it get any better than that? The almighty, powerful God, more powerful than, nothing compares. Nothing as such can hold a candle. That God, he's got you right here. He can handle whatever's being thrown at you, whether it's something as devastating as coronavirus, a loss of a loved one, some infirmity, some frustration financially, whatever disappointment you face, my God is there for you and can get you away from the flesh if you look to him and go from the fear, nervous wreck mentality to the fear not. There's nothing better than the love, promise, and working of our almighty God. Remember, folks, if God be for us, who can be against us? How can I quit being sleepless? Man, I'm just a nervous wreck. I can't get it off my mind. It's just driving me crazy here. Well, let me tell you, through the presence, the power, and the promises of a loving God. Now, I'm going to borrow a song from a friend of mine. Now, you've got some majesty hymns around here. Ron Hamilton was a big part of that, and Frank Garlock, of course, his father-in-law. A real dear friend of mine. Ron's having physical difficulties himself, but I just got to visit him a couple weeks ago. We had a great time of fellowship, but he's just losing his faculties as far as functioning is concerned. But, you know, he had a song called "How Can I Fear?" Do you remember that little chorus? What a great song. Here, let me give you just a snippet of it here. It says, "How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?"
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this very simple passage of Scripture. But Lord, so profound as far as its functioning is concerned, that the Creator of all loves us enough to give us personal care. it's hard for my flesh to get my head wrapped around that. But I'm glad for that truth and those promises. Lord, that's not just for Mike Maynard, the evangelist or pastor. That's available for every person in this room. Now, Lord, the reason a lot of people don't get this or, again, buy it up because they still don't know you as personal Savior. Like I took very careful time at the beginning of this message to say, hey, if you don't know my Jesus, I guarantee you're not going to have any peace. It's just not going to happen. But you can know him, then know his blessed love, promise, presence, and powerful working. But, Lord, help them to know you today. If there happens to be one here, church member or not, someone here that's never trusted Jesus as personal Savior, God, you'll save their soul today. And then, God, for those of us that are saved and should know better, and we're living basket case testimony representation, we're just a nervous wreck to our kids, to our mates, to just to our neighbors, to the people we work with, shame on us. And, God, maybe today would be a good time to renew our relationship with you. Lord, to stop looking to man and going in fear mode and through the power of God go to that fear not representation. Not because we're smarter or stronger or more spiritual. No, because again, we plugged into the power source of what you can do. Lord, some folks have unplugged themselves from you. Help them to plug back in here even this morning. Help us, Lord, to respond even on the invitation to what you would have done. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet, please? Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? Now, Pastor, I didn't talk about this, but I know what kind of guy he is. He wants to give you an opportunity to respond to the convicting that God has lovingly brought to your heart. Now, folks, you don't know me any more than Adam's house cat. Yeah, I'm with you. But you know this loving pastor. He's going to be down here at the front. You're just, again, you're just about to explode. You're just about ready to throw in the towel and just go hide under a rock somewhere. Would you come and get that taken care of by God's grace and working? If you need to get saved, trust Jesus. You know, we talked about a ton of stuff during the last 2 days. God's dealt with you. It's time to make it public. It's time to, again, nail down that right decision and be a testimony to other people. Folks, the invitation's not for just us. The invitation's a tool of impact to others. As you respond faithfully, you impact other people. But one of my favorite things about an invitation is this. It kicks the devil in the teeth and just irritates him like nothing else. When you say no to flesh, no to man, and yes to God, that is what stirs up the devil. Let's stir him up today. And let's just, again, be a blessing to our God and trust him, obey him, and respond to him this hour. As our instruments play, God deals with your heart. I don't do long invitations. Altar's open. Front seats are available. Counseling's here. Oh, folks, you're so blessed. Again, choose to obey God and be a good steward of our time together. Won't you come as the instruments play? Visitor, church member. Boy, I've had many a visitor say, well, I didn't know it was for me too. No, if you're under the sound of God's word, this invitation's for you. One more verse, no one responds. I'll give it back to Pastor, but this is your verse. Heads up for you that may be white knuckling a pew. Someone else has responded. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for them to again have a blessed time with the Lord. You said, boy, if they just did one more verse, I'd probably come. Well, here you go. God's so good to you. Don't miss God's blessed, tender work in your heart today. Let me invite you to come. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed officially, as far as my part's concerned, I'm going to close out as far as this invitation's concerned, but the invitation's still open. The nice thing about all this, when you leave, God goes with you. And he's that ever-present help, remember, and he's got a heart and a listening ear for you. Now, you also have a pastor that has a heart and a listening ear for you. Now, I scared you to death today. My bombastic, loudmouth personality, used car dealer that I am. And I just scared you to death. You're a visitor here, man, you're just going, what did I get myself into? Trust me, he's a lot calmer and more pastoral than I am. But he'll love you. And he'll seek to guide you not with his opinion, but the truths of the Word of God. So even when we finish with a prayer, we go out in the hallway, we're elbow bumping and all that sort of thing. You know, you just need someone to just help you, encourage you. I say this with total confidence. You got a lot of people in this church who would love to help you, but you also have a pastor that will take what time needed to help you get fixed what's broken. Pastor.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Our heads bowed, eyes closed just for one moment before we dismiss. Each of us as couples sat in things that God pricked our hearts in different ways. And I just want to reemphasize to you, don't drop it as yesterday. Pick up those things where God spoke to your heart. Make renewed promises to God, to your spouse, in not only words, but actions, attitudes, and God will bless you. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. And so don't let the devil say, well, I will if you do it. Let God take care of the ifs. You do what you know you need to do as relates to your spouse. Be what you ought to be. You'll encourage him or her to be what they ought to be. And so, couples, I'm going to ask the pianist just to play again. Would you come in? Let's sing that first verse, Brother Jeff. Have thine own way. We're going to sing that verse. Have thine own way. You know it. Sing it with me. You come. Maybe couples need to come and pray this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. We're going to close, but with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many people that have been here Friday night, or Friday evening and Saturday afternoon would say, Pastor, no one else is looking, just an uplifted hand. Pastor, somewhere along the line, God nudged me about one thing or some things that I really need to adjust to refresh my marriage. Would you just lift up your hand, please? God, hold them up there. Hold them up. Okay, thank you. All right, put your hand down. Thank you. Do it. Do it. Make the conviction of yesterday a reality of today. God will bless you. God will bless you. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the time that we've had. Thank you for the reminder this morning of your presence and your power and your promises that are always there. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rest in them, to thrive and survive in today's thoughts and circumstances, knowing that you're always with us to give us the power we need to work in our lives and circumstances in accordance with your promises. So we thank you for that, and bring us back tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks, and we'll see you tonight, 6:30. 6:30. And by the way, there are tapes and CDs in the back if you're interested. Brother Mike has. Avail yourself of them, please.